when I lived in Woodland Hills, we used to get a lot of mice and rats because I lived in the hills themselves. And one time,
like a hobbit.
Yeah, exactly. Just call me Bilbo. And we had a rat, and it was destroying our house. It was like eating electrical wires. It ruined our dishwasher drain pipe. And finally, I had heard, I was sitting on the couch, and I was so pissed at this rat, and I had traps everywhere. I could never catch it. I heard a little scratching behind our couch. I pulled the couch out, and there I am staring the rat right in its face, and it's about this long. And I had nothing with me. I had no weapon, so I just took my foot, and I had no shoes on, and I just tried to kick it. I tried to like kick its head in, and I had my foot pressed against its body, and I could feel it, and I had squeezed the rat, so its body was bending around my foot, and then I could feel the rat just turn into jelly and squeeze out from behind my foot and scamper away. About a week, and I mean, I had traps everywhere. About a week later, it was in the dead of the night, and I am dead asleep upstairs. And I just, I'm asleep, and I spring up, and I go, ha! And I don't know why I sprang up. I walked downstairs, and sure enough, there was the rat caught in a trap in the middle of my dining room, dead as could be. And I just started screaming victory at like 3 a.m.
David, football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hey, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all is well, wherever you are, safe and sound. Successfully sequestered you and yours. That was Matt Money Smith, of course, regaling us with one of his battles against nature. Specifically a rat that broke into his house. I saw a mouse outside my house through the window last night. And if any rodent were to enter this home, then I would gather my essential belongings, which would include my children, and in a box. And then I would burn the house down. And then that would be the end of that chapter of my life. So there's Matt Money Smith.
Rolling start this time, huh? Always a rolling start with me thinking we're not recording. It's okay. It's all right. I don't mind at all.
Well, listen, I know time is of the essence for you. So, sure. But actually, Matt Money Smith, continuing to spin away for your listening pleasure every day with Petros Papadakis. Make sure you check it out, iHeartRadio. Or if you're in Los Angeles, AM 570, nice stuff that you guys are continuing to spin. There is handsome Hank Hodgson. What's happening with you, handsome Hank?
Hi, Dave. I'm doing good. Thank you.
Are you?
No rodents, just a cable of children who are running wild instead of the rodents in my house.
And then while the three of us tend to our respective children, Eddie Spaghetti, really one of the victors here of the coronavirus 2020, because he at least gets to listen to Pearl Jam uninterrupted, really. There's very little between you, Eddie Vedder, and the rest of the fellas, right?
And game. I mean, gaming. I mean, there's certainly some Pearl Jam, but I would say more gaming than Pearl Jam. What would the ratio of Pearl Jam to game be, Eddie, right now?
We'll waste some time for you here. That's my solemn commitment on behalf of everybody whose voices you're hearing right now. We're going to try to pass the next several minutes for you with some dumb games like we like to do. Maybe we'll get to some Use Your Noodle, some other stuff, some general grab ass free. But Spaghetti, do you want to kick things off with a quick Pearl Jam album review?
Sure. I very excited for this album because the last two I've liked, but I haven't fallen in love with. I think this new one, Gigaton, it's not only is their longest album, but I think it's their most diverse or experimental, at least since No Code from 96. And I actually want to see a lot of the songs live, which I didn't feel that way the last two albums. So, and I'm glad that every member of the group had their own songs in the album. Like overall, I think it's a breath of fresh air that something you don't expect from a band that's been around for 30 years to put out music that is, I think, as solid as the original stuff. I honestly couldn't be happier. It's one of the bright spots of this coronavirus.
Couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
Eddie, like the fact that you're I like the fact that your musical, everything's based on quantity, not quality. Not only is it one of their longest albums ever, is where you started there. Well, like, so that's really what you're looking for, just a long album.
Well, no, because like they put out Backspace in 2009, and it was like 37 minutes, and this one's 57 minutes. So, I mean, when you go 6.5 years without putting out an album, you want to have some length to it.
You need some length, you're right.
Yeah, so 12 songs, the album is great. It has a little something for everyone. So
I'm gonna push you on that there, Eddie. I'm gonna do a follow up there, because to be honest, I feel like a lot of Pearl Jam is very similar, right? I mean, it's Pearl Jam. It's Eddie Vedder, and Eddie Vedder's voice has a very distinct sound and quality to it. So what would be the everybody? Like, who would be the everybody? It's got a little something for who and for who and for who.
Well, sure. I mean, it's
like, if you like reggae, hey, they got this super cool track. No. And if you're into, you know what I mean?
Not like a rate. I'm talking about within rock music, because there's definitely some songs on this album alone that are very in the Bruce Springsteen, Tom Petty like realm. And then you have another song that's very similar to like the, you know, David Byrne Talking Heads. And then you have another song, or two songs rather, that are very similar to Soundgarden, which is obviously the influence from Matt Cameron, and their producer Josh Evans worked on King Animal. So, I mean, in terms of rock music, you definitely have stuff that
something for all the rock music fans.
And then also there's like folk, more folkier songs, like, you know, Ed has two or three songs on the album that are more acoustic he uses the pump organ. So if you like more, like I said, more like the indie acoustic stuff, there's that as well. It's a good mix. So, I mean, I'm very happy with it.
I'll tell you this. All right, I'm glad that you're happy with that. You know what has jumped out to me? What speaks to me right now in the world of music? The Weeknd. Just the one single. I don't know what goes on with The Weeknd. Do you know,
like,
this
where
guy?
They don't use consonant, like where they don't use vowels? WKNB.
No. It's one song. There have been in like the last, basically since I've lived in Los Angeles, I would say there are four songs that play that are, I don't know if they're number one or whatever. I don't know how you would even categorize these. Money, you're from the music business, so you probably know what the correct term is for it. Is it just pop song from Hey Ya to dun, 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 dun. What was that guy's song? Ricky Martin's hit. La Vida Loca. I'm thinking the last 20 years. The catchiest pop songs I've heard: La Vida Loca, Hey Ya, Bruno Mars, Locked Out of Heaven, and now The Weeknd's, whatever it's called, Blinding Light, or whatever it's called.
I don't know if I've heard it. I'm sure I probably have.
Can you sing it for us, Dave?
What's that?
Can you sing it for us?
Yeah, please, sing it for us.
He does a falsetto, so that's all. Okay. I don't know what the words are. I don't know how it goes.
I think those are the words, actually.
I don't know what the words are. Anyway,
I can't
look
that
one up.
Okay.
I recently, I watched Castaway, and I don't know when the last time you guys caught this picture was, but I found myself
30 years.
Oh, it's been that long.
Yeah.
I found myself that, don't worry, everybody, this ties into pro football, because he's stranded on this. He survives a horrific plane crash in the sea in the middle of the night. Only survivor. Somehow, against all odds, he jumps on a little inflatable craft, and he makes his way to this deserted island. Somehow he manages, through his, I don't know even what he's leaning on with his clever schemes, to stay alive, cracking a coconut and everything else. And somehow 4 years, he escapes this island. He is impossibly found in the middle of the sea just before he passes. He makes it back and he goes to see his lost love, Helen Hunt, who has since moved on with her life, to the extent that she's now remarried just 4 years later. She has what looks like an 18-month-old child with a new husband. Like, he only got lost at sea 4 years ago. She was sick. So, all right. So she should feel pretty guilty about herself. He makes it to her front door in the middle of the night. It's raining and everything. He comes in. She has not one question, not one question for him about what the experience was like. Like, how the hell did you survive out there? What did you do? What did you make that boat out of that you went out into the sea with? You know, no questions. You're not curious about anything. No, you're busy telling him about the Kevin Dyson touchdown that almost won the Tennessee Titans the Super Bowl. That's the tenor of their conversation. I found myself late last night sitting on the couch, livid with Helen Hunt. And I was happy, though, that Tom Hanks decided. She said, I have to go back just as well, Tom Hanks. You can do better than what a creep. This rivals the when Joan Allen in the last scene of Face Off.
We're going to Face Off.
Well, that's the worst thing ever. At least Helen Hunt. I mean, it's, you know, questionable why.
Sure. How 4 years is a while, though, you know.
I know that's a little too quick. I'd be looking for 6, I think. If I came home 4 years later, and there was an 18-month-old kid already, I'm like that. At that point,
you're looking at about a year and a couple of months.
Let's do the math on that. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's lost at sea.
It's basically been a year, right? If you have an 18-month-old kid, you're talking about, you know, 9 or 10 months of pregnancy. You're talking about hooking up with someone to the point that you now want to be impregnated.
You're having a child with them, right?
Right.
It's the holidays when the plane crashes, because remember, they have that dinner and then she takes him to the airport to jump on the FedEx plane. And by the way, he's fat there. And by the time he comes back, because obviously he's been living on a deserted island, he's lost a lot of weight. All he's had is coconuts and crab legs to eat.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's lost a lot of weight. She doesn't even comment on that. Like, hey,
I'm not sure that necessarily would be the first thing that after not seeing someone for 4 years and the terrible guilt of the fact that you're married and have another child.
If he's your lover, you would say, you know, past lover, you might be like, hey, I don't know.
Hey, looking good.
Probably not the best way to lose the weight, but I got to say, it suits you. I mean, you look terrific. You've never looked better. Plus, you got a nice bronzy glow about you. None of that. More and more. Just talking about the Titans almost won the Super Bowl.
And maybe she's in shock, and that's what the scene suggests, is that she is so in shock that she's got nothing else but to talk about
foosball. What are you, a Helen Hunt apologist?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, you said it. She's guilty. She's got this 18-month-old. She moved on in about 6 months, maybe 8. And now here he is at her doorstep. And instead of apologizing profusely, A, she's humiliated for her misdeeds. Two, she can't believe this man has returned home after being missing for 4 years.
After the well-publicized plane crash, zero survivors. I wonder if she met the husband at like a survivor group meeting.
No. I just watched it last night.
Okay.
He comes, the guy who played Mr. Big in Sex and the City. Remember him? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
When you said Mr. Big, I thought of Ron Isley in the Isley Brothers R. Kelly videos.
Oh, look.
Not Mr. Big's chest.
I really did. I'm not kidding. When you said Mr. Big, it's the first thing that popped into my mind.
Oh, handsome. I think you've just walked us into a fascinating project for somebody within the sound of our voice. Replacing all the Sex and the City scenes, replacing Mr. Big with Mr. Big chest. Yep. Just replacing Antonio Brown having conversations with what's her name? Matthew Broderick's wife. Carrie Bradshaw.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker. Carrie Bradshaw.
Just a quick aside, if I may.
Carrie Bradshaw's first wife. Right.
Exactly. I never liked watching Sex in the City because it is all comedy that humiliates men. And whenever they would make a joke, and my wife would be lying in bed next to me and laugh, I would get upset. I would be like, "What is that? Are you laughing at me? Like, is it just funny in general, or is this something that relates to me and you're laughing?" They really did like genuinely make me upset. So I would have to leave the room when she watched Sex and the City.
Well, it all worked out for your wife in the end because she trained you well enough to now be defending Helen Hunt's indefensible.
Yeah, look at that.
Exactly right. Wait. She doesn't ask a question. I mean, nothing at all. What did you do for entertainment? You know, like not like how did you like didn't you go crazy? You know, not aren't you just insane? Like, did you write a book? Nothing. She has no questions for like what in hell did you do on that island? Like, you know, none of it. But
her current husband could be the jealous type, and she didn't want to upset him.
Well, he's not hanging around. He's upstairs in the bedroom asleep, apparently. But quickly, before we get into
reliving Castaway in 2020, I gotta say, I actually do enjoy it.
Aren't we all Tom Hanks right now? He just survived his own form of it. I didn't really acknowledge that irony. But he's cast away on that, a lot of similarities. Actually, he was just on an island in the Pacific, you know, Australia in this case, but in Castaway, we don't know the name of the island, but pretty similar. But back to Face Off quickly. So Sean Archer, he's so obsessed with catching, with catching his arch rival that he is willing to have his face, experimental surgery, take my face off and put his face on. I won't be able to look in the mirror because he killed our son. But you know what? Caster Troy, I'm going to use you. And he takes his face. Then he risks life and limb, really almost gets killed by the aforementioned Caster Troy, who has since become Sean Archer.
Right.
And in the interim, inadvertent or otherwise, Joan Allen, the wife, Mrs. Archer, makes time with Caster Troy. Never mind that she doesn't notice anything.
Right. They must be married.
I mean, that doesn't notice, like, hey, there's something different about you in the nude. But Caster Troy's brother, when Sean Archer as Caster Troy goes into the maximum security jail, you'll recall Pollux Troy, his younger brother, as soon as Sean Archer as Caster Troy opens his mouth, Pollux Troy is, I'm a little skeptical that you're actually my real brother. What is the medication I take, bro? You don't get to do that. You don't get to make a movie that is hinged on a high concept like this and then have your characters be skeptical of the premise that you are forcing us to accept. You understand?
I do. And what I've concluded from this conversation / dissertation, Dave, is that somehow you have stumbled upon a channel that is playing movies from 30 years ago. And it has stoked the fire inside of your chest.
Mrs. Archer.
Old issues.
Mrs. Archer is also,
I'm going to be honest. I'm a little confused. I have lost my place. I cannot lie.
What do you mean?
It's been a long time. Well, I just, you know, Face Off was one of those I saw it once and I was like, that's one of the dumbest movies I've ever seen. And I never watched it again. I'm just being brutally honest. So
can you mute him, Spaghetti? Don't tell him he's muted, but I think that's what he deserves. Now, so Sean Archer, Caster Troy engage in a literal battle to the death. And in the meantime, Mrs. Archer makes time with who turns out to be Caster Troy. Now, she doesn't notice anything about the techniques he employs between the sheets. Yeah, no noticing of that. The Pollux Troy, the younger brother of Caster, is more lucid about what's going on. Anyway, after it's all said and done, they're still married, Mrs. Archer and Sean Archer, and he gets his own face put back on, barely surviving the whole thing. He is the hero, everything else. And we see in the final scene, Sean Archer finally return home after this, you know, uniquely horrendous experience, but ultimately it worked out. He comes home. She's sitting around there diddling around on the laptop like, oh, this Tuesday was the day you were getting released from the hospital. She couldn't have gone and picked him up at the hospital after that whole thing. Garbage. That's more disgrace. Guilt alone should have dictated that she had to go to the hot, that she would do it after what she did, the unmentionable thing she did with and to Caster Troy. Again, letting her off the hook, thinking it was her husband. But still, what happened happened, and there's no erasing that, Mrs. Archer. And you're sitting there on the laptop. You couldn't have picked him up. You couldn't have gotten in the car and picked him up at the local hospital after what he's been through. Disgraceful. Now,
I mean, Dave, on the other hand, though, maybe she enjoyed her time with Caster Troy, thinking he was her husband so much that actually that she thinks her future might be there.
Well, he's dead. I mean,
well, but you know what? But you're still,
if you don't know what you're talking about, handsome, don't just.
Her mind is elsewhere. Maybe she's like, hey, look, the world, you know, I thought the world was this. It's actually this. Even if he's dead, maybe there are other men out there who can give me the same sensations that I wasn't able to get from my husband. So who cares if she's coming out of hospital today?
So you're speculating.
I think just that one taste of what the broader world could offer was enough for her to, you know, what was she doing? Maybe she was setting up an account on a dating website
on her laptop. Interesting theory. So she's on Match.com is what you're
she's
saying.
On Match.com
or she's swiping left
someone. I mean, yeah, she's exactly all those things because now she realizes that the world is not just, you know, a bowl of apples. It's all the fruits that you could possibly imagine.
Well,
it's
now
a cornucopia of men's junk is what it is.
Exactly.
And now this is, well, see, now that
see, I am distracted. Here's why I think I'm distracted. whoever wrote this script and decided to name these two people Sean Archer and Caster Troy needs to be kicked square in the junk.
Why? That's some of the best stuff
name.
In the
what a stupid name. Caster what would, Troy.
What would you like him to be named? Glenn?
Yeah. How about Glenn? Glenn
Hey, coming to all right, look out. Here comes Gary. Oh, you know what? Kevin's gonna get you too. Kevin is the most diabolical criminal out there. He took our son.
Kevin Jameson. There you go. Gary. Why not Gary Troy? Why Caster Troy?
Now, Helen Hunt not married. She's tried to move on with her life, but I think she did it a little prematurely because he dies and he's gone for 4 years. And this is so that gay. So I'm sorry that this is if this is convoluted and difficult to follow, but we learn that he gets on the plane on the holidays because they have that holiday dinner with the whole family before she runs him to the airport. Helen Hunt runs Tom Hanks to the airport. He flies off, plane goes into the sea. 4 years later, he reemerges. They find him laying on that raft out in the Pacific somewhere. Then he comes back home to where are they? L.A. or whatever? Anyhow. No, Memphis. Sorry. And they're talking. Right. And they're talking about the Super Bowl that was just played. So it's exactly about 4 years and a month or 2 months, somewhere around there, because Christmas, then the Super Bowl a month later. Right.
Right.
So it's like 4 years and a month. Don't look around, money, like you're bored.
No, there's someone walking down the hallway. That's why I wanted to see if they were going to emerge.
I hope it's that rat coming back for sweet revenge.
I do have a quick question.
Yes.
As we try to tie this thing back into the world of football.
I already did. I told you it was all about the Super Bowl. Congratulations.
Where were the Titans playing at this time? Did they have their stadium built in Nashville yet or not?
Yes, because when they won the Super Bowl, because that Super Bowl run began with the Music City Miracle.
Gotcha. Right. Because they played in Memphis, right? Or where did they play for?
They started out as Memphis. And if you want to tie it into football, that was they avoided what the Los Angeles Lakers and Los Angeles Dodgers and Utah Jazz and all those misnomers. They decided to avoid that. For 1 year, they were the Tennessee Oilers, which was a dumb
move,
and they rightly changed it to something
cool. When they moved to Nashville, they were the Tennessee Oilers in Memphis, moved to Nashville, Tennessee Titans.
That's right. A little bit of lost history is that they wore that Houston Oilers uniform for at least
Boy, do I miss that thing.
Oh yeah. Sweet. But yes. So 4 years and a month after he disappears, she is now not only married, she has an 18-month-old. And the dentist, he comes out when Hanks comes in and he thinks he's going to see Helen Hunt for the first time at the big ceremony out at the airfield. The dentist comes out. He's like, "Hey, I did a root canal on you 5 years ago." So they know each other already. He says, like, "Yeah, I don't know if you remember me, Tom Hanks, but I did that root canal." And Tom Hanks is like, "Oh, you're the guy from Sex and the City with Carrie Bradshaw, Terry Bradshaw's."
Since then, I've been executing root canals on your wife, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And how? I'll shoot.
I feel like I know everybody that's ever done dental work on me. Like I remember all of my dentists from my
youth. Wear masks. No, they wear masks. I wouldn't be able to recognize them without that.
Where do you go to some sort of dentist factory? Like I have a personal dentist. Like his name's Dr. I know him.
I do too, but he's always wearing a mask. So if suddenly he came out without wearing like the blue gown and the thing and whatever, you know, sometimes they wear a hairnet. Right. I might be like, "You look a little bit like my dentist," but I don't know.
You've never seen your dentist without a mask on.
I mean,
that's a little weird.
Yeah, they usually come in, they chat, you know, they kind of get you ready for what's about to happen, and then they put the mask on.
When the mask goes up, it's time for business
time. Here we go.
That's it. Like this. Yeah, right. See? Wow. Now.
Yeah, you guys obviously spend a lot more time talking to me. I'm just like, get down to business. I don't need small talk from the dentist.
Well, maybe we go to the dentist more.
Good British joke, man.
Yeah, I know. I had to. Sorry.
Look how pleased Monty is with himself on that one. Zinging poor handsome for his rotten teeth. Poor handsome and his horrific teeth. You know what? Now it's out in the open. I'm glad that handsome, this is what we talk about when you're not around handsome.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Now, listen. So she's dead. He's lost at sea. And by the way, I don't have any more. I'm trying to figure out this timeline here. I want to figure it out with you. Now, listen, he's lost at sea. Doesn't she doesn't think like the next day, well, he's dead. She assumes that, I mean, don't we assume that as his love, the love of her life that she's like, "I got to hold out hope." And in fact, come to think of it, she even says, "I knew you were alive. They told me I was. I knew you were alive. Then why'd you run off and get hitched, lady?" You know,
that's
a fair point. Yeah, that's a disgrace.
Didn't she hold out hope for a month or 2 months or something like that? So right out of the gate, now we're 4 years. Okay, then she gets. So let's do it backwards. 18 months, and then money. You say 10 months prior to that, baby.
You're now at 27 months. You're now at 2 years, 3 months, right? And now you got to figure out how long you are in a courtship period before you decide to have a child. Let's just assume that's, if it's quick, let's assume that's what, 8 months? So now we're at 35 months, maybe 3 years. She basically gave it a year.
It sounds like they already knew each other, right? That's it. She didn't go out dating. She wasn't combing the bars or whatever. Like, he had certainly made a move on her at the dentist prior to this time. Like, he'd been.
Oh, he fancied her. I know. I didn't know you. I know.
Great. I'd like to kiss
the dead. Hey, is that the dentist over there at the funeral? Like, you know, because they talk about how they had a funeral for him, even though they didn't have his body, but they had a funeral. And so maybe he showed up. And she's like, "Is that the dentist? Like, I don't really recognize him because he doesn't have his mask on." But now that we're talking this out, I think she betted him or betted her. She was emotionally. Well, I don't know. I mean, not physically at the, you know. No, I hope not.
And afterwards, at the wake, maybe, you know, like over some sandwiches. Maybe, you know, she was crying and he comforted her.
I don't know how you boy him do it. Yeah, you guys booze at funerals and at wakes and that kind of stuff. That's right. So that's what happened because it doesn't make no courtship or anything. Like I think you know they fell into bed and they weren't careful and now we have then that makes it a little more reasonable. It's been a year and a half or two. She's grieving. She doesn't know. He takes advantage of her. They fall into bed. wow, I have a baby in me. I don't have anything better going on. My true love is buried at the bottom of the ocean. I may as well jump in on this and get hitched.
I think, you know, a lot of people are saying people should be using this time that we're in quarantine to do something creative. I think you should be writing Castaway too, the story of what happened back at home. Interesting.
And it's not right. It's not a sequel, but it's not a sequel. Parallel it's story of Helen.
Parallel story of
it is that. What was
great
going
romance
on in her life.
Between her right. and the dentist.
It's a, yeah, it's a romance story.
Yeah.
It's a romance of a kind.
I like, it's like it could be like Liam Neeson or John McClane, like Liam Neeson in Taken. Like he just like what is going everybody I know keeps getting kidnapped and John McClane keeps getting into terrorist attacks. It's the same sort of thing. Maybe it's like Hanks or maybe it's the love child of Helen Hunt. But somebody gets what? I'm stuck on an island again.
Yeah.
You know, like again, what home are the
alone.
Odds?
I'm home alone again.
Again.
My family forgot me again. I wonder if there's a message being sent here.
If you got stranded on a deserted island for 4 years the first time, it would be a devastating emotional bummer. But if it happened a second time, then it would be kind of funny. Then it'd be like, well, what am I going to do?
Right.
Don't you think?
I
think I'd be dead after 2 weeks is what I think. If I were stranded on a desert island, I would give up quickly.
Yeah,
to hell with this. Put a bunch of rocks in my pocket and walk into the ocean.
Yeah, that's what I know. I'm not from sturdy stock. Yeah, when I watched that movie, I remember saying that when Castaway came out, that it would have been more interesting on some level if he weren't so good at Rube Goldberging. He's so good at like all that stuff. It would have been better if it would have been somebody like me who's completely incapable, you know, completely can't do anything, doesn't know how to do a single grown up thing. Drop me in that spot. But then to your point, the movie ends.
It's like one of those little 4 minute previews at the theater. Right. What you do is you like go up to some plant because you're hungry, you eat a leaf and you immediately choke and die.
I'd be like, wait, I just got a big thing of popcorn. Like, what am I supposed to do with this movie? I've three handfuls of popcorn in and it's time to go home.
Yeah, we'd really only need that first act. By the end of it, the audience would be like, oh, good. The annoying guy's dead. Thank God. Yeah. Let's get out of here.
The final hour of the movie is just animals picking on your carcass.
Exactly. The audience cheering with approval. Exactly. Every bite, they never get tired of it.
Birds pecking your eyes out. They just be like, yeah, woo, it's gone.
Well, like we've talked about. Yeah. I mean, you know, listen, I am not from sturdy stock. And if you same experience as 1917. If you drop me like I watched that movie and on the front lines, I'd be the first one gone. I'd be the first one.
I'm just going to charge and let the chips fall where they may. I've got a better shot at this than trying to ride this thing out, because every night I lay my head, I will not fall asleep. I will stay awake. I will die of exhaustion or something. So we might as well make a run at it.
Oh, I would just weep the whole time. I would just cry, curled up in a ball and be like, they'd be like, all right, lad. All right, then. It's time to go now. Let's go. Let's go get the.
You'd be shot as a deserter. That's what would happen. You'd be shot in your back as a deserter.
Go over there. Right, yeah. Wait, but that's where they are. I'm not going over there. Let's go the other way. And then, of course, if they charged us and then even it was like, retreat, here they come. Like, I'd be the slowest one. So they'd catch me first and kill me. You know, that would be.
Exactly.
I think we could really save a lot of people a lot of time if you replaced the star of a movie with me, because I would just like every movie would only take like 11 minutes. Hey, Spaghetti, what's going on over there? Why you got your microphone muted? Are you listening to the new Pearl Jam album?
No, I just don't. I know my ultra gaming headset is sometimes picks up me breathing if I move around. And I don't want to ruin your movie stories. So I thought you were
just about to
I
say.
I love that. That's how Eddie described them is Dave's like, movie stories.
Yeah, I don't like that.
These are stories about movies, as if the movie wasn't entertaining enough. Dave has to tell a story about a movie.
I'm just trying to fix it. I'm trying to make sense of it. We're all human beings. That's it.
I understand. We've all got our thing. You know, we're all doing our research and And I've got to say, like, the most entertaining thing for me has been the way you have chosen to hold the microphone. You know, everybody kind of does a different thing. Eddie's a big fan of Eddie Vedder, and he's got, you know, the double hand on it, you know, right up into his mouth. And you got the Axl Rose with the half stand, or Freddie Mercury, you know, with the half stand and their style. And Dave has decided he's got a handheld mic, but he's taken the cord and he's looped it through. So there is a little bit of like your own Dave Damashek mm-hmm. style to the way mm-hmm. you're delivering these words through that microphone. And I just find it intriguing.
Personally, I find the Freddie Mercury approach off-putting. I don't like that. Like, what do you like?
Stand?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not a fan of Aerosmith, but what's his name? You know,
Steven Tyler.
But I do think he knows how to use that microphone well. Like, I like
bandanas and stuff. It's kind of
well. That's too much. I'm just saying he knows with the microphone. I think were I a front man, I would not want to be encumbered by carrying a microphone around, and I certainly wouldn't want that half stick around. You know, I think that wouldn't be my.
Is interesting. It's very unique. I like it a little bit better than Axl Rose's like triangle thing. That thing was always a bit disconcerting for me. Cause I was like, I don't get it. Why do you have to have two different handles? And what are we doing here? I mean, Mercury's, I guess I kind of get, cause you kind of have a little bit of an extension to, cause he would always put the mic out into the crowd, a little bit. And it's a little bit, I don't know, feel like you're engaging the audience a little more when you're holding that steel pole and kind of reaching it out as opposed to just the mic with the cord on it.
I like the move when the bottom of the microphone points skyward and then you do like that. Somehow it makes whatever you're doing or singing more important when you,
sure.
when you turn it upside down like that. Spaghetti and Handsome, of course, would wear a headset like Madonna.
I would wear a headset.
Oh, yeah.
I would like
Madonna. Yeah, you got to be able to show your moves.
He's got to dance while he's doing it. Right. Yeah. Hey, Spaghetti, is this show bad so far? Should we start over?
Start over. No, this is exactly what people want in the off season. Trust me. I think this is very funny.
I heard your passive aggressive crap a minute ago about like, I don't want to breathe over your movie.
I've never seen Face Off. And like I said, this is an ultra sensitive gaming headset. So I had to turn off the mic so I didn't breathe or tap it, make sounds. I was being respectful.
Never seen Face Off.
Weird. Does that shock you? Why?
It's one of those tentpole movies of the last.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. The premise was so ridiculous that I think people feel the need to actually put their eyes on it. They can't comprehend it or digest it unless they see it with their own too.
You know what? All of a sudden it occurs to me. I used to ask that about 3-4 years ago of a bunch of players. Our longstanding, what was it, Spaghetti? It was TV, pizza, sex, like, and we had to put them into an order of four. Remember that?
Yeah, there was one booze. More. Oh, yeah.
TV,
yeah.
Booze, sex, pizza.
And what do you have to do, rank them?
Well, you put them
what
in.
What could you not live without? Wasn't that the thing? That was the question.
It was whatever you pick at number one, you can have whenever you want for the rest of your life. In the second spot, you get to have it once every, let's say, 5 months. The third one you get to have once every 5 years. And the fourth one you never get to have again. TV, sex.
Seems too punitive.
Pizza.
I don't remember.
Like once every 5 months, once every 5 years, you might as well not have it at all.
Yeah, I mean, forget it. I don't think that doesn't work for me. I don't think you ever put those kind of conditions in it.
It would have to be whenever, once a week, once a month. You know what I mean?
Oh, I think that's too liberal, in fact. You know?
So but I mean, how about once a month, once a year?
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like that.
Right.
To me, five months, 5 years, that's crazy. You might as well not have it at all.
I'm not here to be attacked by you. I'm just spitballing.
I'm trying to make it better. Look, you're trying to make Castaway better. I'm trying to make your game better. That's all.
Handsome. You go first.
I'm going to go. It's tough. I mean, there's two.
You're right. Really... When you talk about booze is going to be hard. You're right. Yeah. If you do like a week, you could say booze once a week. And then
if it's 5 months,
every 5 months, then
that's crazy.
You know, some of the decisions honestly have been made for me. So, you know, in one area, so that might be, that's a harder, thing, but I would say TV is probably going to have to go number one. Booze would be number two. I think sex three. I live without pizza. I'm fine. There's plenty of other food stuff, so I can
never pizza again. You get you get the love once a year. Interesting. Yeah. All right.
You know, that's about
money. You're next.
What is it? Whenever, once a month, once a year, never.
I don't know. You're in charge now, Kamish. Go ahead.
Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing?
I don't know. Whatever you want to do. Whatever, yeah, let's do anytime, once a week, once every 3 months. No, what? Once a month, once a year. No, once a week, once a year, zero ever again.
Okay. So whenever, once a week, once a year.
Never again.
Oof. Well, never again is going to be pizza for sure.
What if I raise the stakes to steaks, or what if I raise the stakes to all money weighs 97 pounds at this point.
Yeah, I'm just saying,
he looks better than Tom Hanks post island.
Even if it were my favorite food, I would still rank it last, because I think you would find a substitute pretty quickly. Let's see.
Maple.
Once. So that's
hold on, wait a second, Alfie, come back. I just have a quick question. Alfie's asking me an important question. Yeah. What donut flavor would I like? He's going to go to Randy's Donuts for me. What flavor should I get? Maple? Maple?
Well, I've been to Randy's Donuts and I've sampled their buttermilk. I don't think you can do much better than that at any donut shop.
Buttermilk.
Get a nice buttermilk.
Get a buttermilk. Maple.
Yeah, Alfie, get a cinnamon sugar. People forget about
it. And cinnamon.
Get a nice cinnamon sugar. Ooh, do they know about the ones, the Boston creams that have the creams inside?
It's like a donut lunch. Gosh, this is fantastic. What are you having for lunch? I don't give a donuts. Damn. We're quarantined. Let's have donuts.
Okay. That's literally what's happening here.
Works for me.
My little British children don't need schooling. Right. You're already leagues ahead of our American counterparts.
Unfortunately, Dave, my kids are American, so they're screwed.
Yeah. All right, so one I'm gonna do, let's see, we're doing one, so I'm gonna do booze one, I'll do sex two, I'll do television three, and I'll do pizza four.
You know what, I don't like this game that I came up with, because I don't know, like, I mean, listen, pizza, even if it's all Italian food, that would unfortunately be the one I'd never have again. And then will. And then, like when we did this 3 or 4 years ago, my opinion remains the same. You know, sex. I mean, listen, we've already seen the results with Damashek. You know, ironically,
you've
for the
had
least,
more than your fair share.
Right. For the least masculine man walking the planet in 2020, it's bizarre and ironic that when it's go time, when it's clutch time, Damashek comes through.
Yeah, you can make them.
Like Sean,
you
Kemp.
Will ensure I am legend cannot happen with Damashek on the planet. It will be populated.
No, right. That's right. Yeah, that's the reverse of most movies. Yes, that movie never ends. Damashek just keeps making babies, repopulates the planet Earth. But yeah, so I'd have to say goodbye to those. But yeah, the TV versus booze. Oh my God, Sophie's Choice. I don't even know how I would split those two. I have a quick one for spaghetti, though. Let's think this through. Same thing. Pearl Jam, Avengers movie, superhero movies, New York sports, or desserts.
Ooh, I like it.
I like it.
See, that's what you need to do. You need to customize it for each individual.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not that clever. I can't.
I like that. Well, you just did it.
I think desserts would be last. I think Avengers would be third.
What's your favorite food?
Like single item or like genre of food?
Food.
Just food. Put food on the list.
Dinner.
I love breakfast food's my favorite.
Oh, I got so excited there for a minute when you, right before you said the word breakfast, I thought you were going to say bread. That really excited. I like bread. I like bread favorite itself. Food. I like scones. I like donuts. I like pizza dough. I like cookie dough. I like anything bready.
Anything carved. Yeah.
I like meat.
I mean, favorite food. I mean, like, you know, brisket, like, you know, Texas brisket is probably my favorite food.
Too specific. Okay, barbecue. No barbecue. Okay, now answer.
Okay, then I would swap Avengers with the food. It'd be Avengers, like a superhero movie's last, then food third, if you do barbecue. And then New York sports would be second. Pearl Jam's would be easy, number one.
Really? That is I don't think that's boggling to me.
I don't think that's even true. I don't think you're looking inside your soul.
It's legitimately, I know people see me and they think like, oh, he cares about the sports. And I was like, I don't really watch sports documentaries. I don't listen to sports like podcasts. I don't do like, I like other Thank stuff.
You. How often do you listen to
I work on it? A lot. I like music more than sports.
That's the point though. It's just like food.
But there's a limited, there's a finite amount
of other music. You can listen, right. You can fill that void with any of your second favorite band. And you're good. Well, that is your number one.
Yeah, if you put my second or third favorite band, I would also put them number one ahead of the sports. That's like there's a selection of music that I value
greatly. But you can never eat barbecue. The idea that you're eating barbecue once a year, whereas instead of listening to Pearl Jam, whatever your second favorite band is, you're listening to them instead.
The way my brain works, I'll listen to other stuff and eventually I'll want to go back to them listening to something. Like, it's just, that's the way I am.
I don't think your brain's working at all, frankly, right now. I think you're a prisoner of the moment. You would definitely not. If the Yankees were playing ball right now and the blue shirts in Madison Square Garden were in hot pursuit coming down to the last couple of games here of the last playoff spot in the Wales conference. And the Knicks wouldn't be relevant. You would definitely take New York sports. You would just be like, yeah, I'll check in once a week. I'll find out what's going on once a week.
Over giving up the band? No, there's no way.
I think once a week.
If you ask my family or my friends who knew me, they would
nothing,
be like,
yeah, there's nothing shot. New. You're just listening to the same old S.
You're going to have to wait.
Nothing changes.
I mean, it's okay. You guys are arguing. I'm just telling you what the truth is. I mean, if you ask people that know me, they would say, oh, yeah, for sure. He would pick Pearl Jam first.
Now, do you remember?
Even flow. Hey, wait. Hey, so did Capo Caco get into the postseason or not? That's how your life would be?
I mean, I put them ahead of superhero movies and barbecue, but it's just they're not going to beat the band.
I want to reset something here.
And it's not just them. It's a lot. It's a large group of music.
You just shared with us that they put out their first new material in 6.5 years. Mm-hmm. For 6.5 years, you've got the same music.
Yeah, but I've seen live shows.
Last week, you shared that Vedder did his first ever podcast ever.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they're pumping you with new content that you need every day. If you pick them for once a week, we're not saying move that to the last place and give it up forever. We're saying exchange it to the thing you get once a week instead of every day. And a band that has not put out any new material for 6.5 years, you will get to consume once a week while you get your beloved New York sports, your Jeter, and your Knicks and your Rangers and your Notre Dame football. I mean, my God, Eddie, it's a no-brainer.
But then if I can't like go to a concert because I have to only listen to once
fly a week. Somewhere for the week. If you did something once and then the very next week you can take a flight to, I don't know, it wherever is, they're playing.
Yeah, but here's and a good example. They're playing the Forum twice and I can't on, go on. To one of the shows. Like I go to all of them. That's just the way it works.
You would be jeopardizing. You don't know yourself well enough, Spaghetti, clearly, because think of the scenarios. And what if the Yankees made the postseason? What if they went to the World Series? You wouldn't watch. You wouldn't get to see the Yankees in the World Series?
You get one game of seven. You will get to watch one of the seven World Series games.
Okay. I'd rather go to multiple concerts than see multiple sporting events. I don't know why this is being argued. It's my
opinion.
How
many concerts could they possibly play in a year? How many could you go to? What is the most concerts you've ever been to in a year from them?
Four or five.
Okay. There are 52 weeks in the year.
There's multiple in the week, like they're playing like Los Angeles twice.
Skip the second one in LA and go to Denver.
I can't. I would just feel I couldn't do that.
Why? You would feel what?
Because I live here, so I have to go to it. Like, I can't just skip something like a hometown
trip. But you went last night.
It's a mental thing. It's a mental thing. I just can't. I don't know.
This is amazing.
It's not true either.
This is like, something. Hey, Ed,
come on by. I got a ticket for you to watch Severino out on the hump in game two. They're playing the Dodgers for the Fall Classic. It's a rematch. Come on out. Like, sorry, bro, can't hear you. Hello, breakfast table. Let me know how it turns out in an otherwise empty room.
I think my New York sports fandom is a tad overhyped, and I think my music, my love of music, is a tad underplayed.
That has nothing to do with that, though, Eddie. It's just availability.
I get what is
available to you from each category that you made one and two. That's all I'm debating. If you have chosen this as your one and your two, and it's incongruous. It doesn't make sense with what's available.
Let's move on, but I want to figure out which is handsome or money. Money, let's say, would be college football, right?
For what?
I'm talking about your four items to put out on the table.
I think you're probably right. It would be college football, I think.
I mean,
NFL football is kind of running neck and neck. You know, I think those two, I just enjoy those 2 days. I love watching, you know, the college football on Saturday and then the NFL on Sunday. There is something about just kind of running those back.
How about that? How about that? Autumn weekends where in front of your TV or in front of the microphone or whatever. And you we'll make good on whatever you get paid to do those things. We're not involving like, well, I got to have the football because it's my career. Removing that part of the equation. Autumn weekends to watch football.
Okay.
Love your music, right?
I do.
Is there something that we can narrow it a little bit so it's not?
No, because I would replace it. You know, whatever you took away from me, I would replace.
Else do you even care about? You're so limited, money. No, you. What else do you like? You like to?
No, I think obviously I love booze. You know, and I do love the carnal pleasures. So I think it works for me, right? I mean, don't we all? We're men. I mean, my God, that's why we're on this earth, to exist and to continue existing. It's the way we're wired. I think that works. I think if you were just to replace the food with, you know, the autumn sports, that would definitely make it a little bit tougher.
Well, for sure, because you only eat once a week.
based
on your appearance, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out right here in a minute or two.
I've already weighed in because I don't want to go through the whole thing, but all right. I'll tell you. I have weighed in. I sincerely.
You did. We just did this last week, and you were five pounds heavier than what you said you weighed in.
I'll drag myself over. Okay, I'll do it.
I know he doesn't want to get up. That's the issue.
I would be happy to accept it. Yes, if last week it was the exact number you shared with us instead of 5 pounds heavier, I would be happy to take it.
People keep playing their little games on social media about like, what's the first thing you're going to do? The three of us and the local fire department are going to head over to Eddie Spaghetti's house to remove one of the walls to get him out of there. What are you now? Over under 320 right now, Spaghetti?
No, I weighed myself pre-podcast, and I wasn't thrilled with the results. I am up for this week, and I have a few reasons why.
I bet they didn't get a kettlebell in the post. That's what Eddie's claiming on social media, is that because his kettlebell didn't arrive, he's put on some weight.
How ridiculous is that for Walmart to be like, yeah, you ordered it, send me an email confirmation, got the number and everything, like 4 or 5 days come and they say your expected delivery is like April 1st or 2nd. I'm like, great, this is awesome. I'm going to get it by the end of the week. And then yesterday in the morning, I wake up and they're like, oh, your order's been canceled. And just like, why even let it go through? So I had to reorder them today, which is, it was terrible.
I'm up for size. They say that it's going to come. This place that is shipping out more stuff than they ever have in the history of their stores. They are trying to fill these orders at an alarming rate. And I am told I am going to get my kettlebell. And all of a sudden.
An essential item. It's an essential item, a kettlebell.
Exactly.
But why let me go through with the ordering process and let a week go by and then give me an expected delivery date that they're just going to cancel it?
I would say it's probably happened to all of us, right? We've all ordered something and then it's been like, oh, by the way, what we said was going to come tomorrow isn't coming for 2 days because we are so taxed.
Spaghetti, you said there are a number of reasons why your weight went up. May I hypothesize that some of those reasons are food-based?
Yeah. Food, definitely food-based.
Some things led to my weight gain.
You guys will love this one. This is, I think, 2 days ago. And I'm going to blame my girlfriend, but she had like a busy day, a rough day, doing stories for the local news here and whatever. And she would just kind of like out of it and was like, let's just go through a drive through or something. And I was like, all right. So we drove through Taco Bell.
We
drove through Taco Bell and we crushed it. And like the funny thing, I'm sure you guys have seen like Taco Bell and KFC usually have like a merged drive through.
Pizza Hut.
Yes. Well, this Taco Bell was a separate Taco Bell. So, but we still made the trip to another KFC and went through KFC as well. So that was a heck of a dinner. Yeah.
Eddie.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the worst. That was by far the worst thing I've done.
But I like how he couched it. Well, my girlfriend been through a tough day, so I had these fries.
She didn't have any choice.
What was
a great thing? Tacos and fried chicken. Bell is, they don't limit you to one $5 box. You can get as many as you want. And I got four.
The order was pretty incredible. And
well,
I remember the order.
I want some fries.
I got
that was my Weird Al attempt there. Thank you.
I got the Nacho Doritos Los Tacos, just one of those. I got a Crunchwrap Supreme. I got a cheesy gordita crunch. Instead of getting the chalupa, they now have the triple lupa, which is basically a triple sized version of the chalupa. It's got one of those,
and they had it, so he had to eat it. It would have been rude not to get it.
You got to try it.
And then KFC
Holy crap.
KFC was a small order. KFC was just the 3-piece chicken combo with the potato wedges and a biscuit. So
that was for one meal.
That was
dessert for the taco for the triple chalupa.
That's just for me. Yeah, and I had a couple beers and some wine with it. Watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It was great. Great night.
That is that's amazing. If I had to put a number on it, I would guess that's probably like 4,000 calories, maybe 4,500.
Eddie, if we were living in a post or pre quarantine world, would you have washed that down with some dessert? Would you have gone out to one of your favorite dessert places to get some more as well?
I have cookies in my house that my brother sent from a Christmas gift. I was so full I couldn't eat a thing. So after I eat all that, I'm out of commission. But
what if you were passing one of those places in the car though? You kind of would have to, right?
Yeah, I mean, in hopes that I could digest and have a dessert thing, but that was just it was way too much food. I ordered too much. It was you just know what you could fit.
Now as someone who still goes to KFC, do they still have those little bucket parfaits where you can either get the strawberry shortcake or the chocolate pudding pie in a little plastic container?
I don't know. I didn't see them on the menu. To be honest, this was my first KFC trip probably since I lived at home still years ago. I haven't been forever. I'm more of a Taco Bell guy. I haven't done KFC in a while. But like, I know you guys are going to make fun, but that is by far the worst meal I've had in quite some time. I've been eating relatively okay. Yeah. Besides that, but
all right, so come with it then. What were you last week and what are you up to?
I think Andrew had me near 228 something. I'm up now to 232.6. But also because last week's weigh-in, I did not have breakfast and I worked out in the morning. This day I did not do either of those. I had breakfast and I have not worked out yet. So
you I'm gonna have for breakfast.
You think you're gonna stop chalupa? Me with not giving me my kettle ball? I'm gonna eat kettle chips all week then, despite you.
Just take that. One cup of egg whites, keeping it healthy.
There we go. All right. So you're up. You're up. You think 4 pounds?
Or like 4 and change. Yeah.
Hank, have you weighed yourself yet?
I haven't. I'll go and do it. What? How much was I last week? Can you guys remember? I think it was like.
On. Yeah. Let me, Andrew.
Do you, think do you so? Have Raby?
Yeah. Let me pull it up.
All right. Time for the weigh-in. Here we go. The weekly weigh-in. Is coming up. Let me go.
All right, I guess I gotta do this here.
Let me untangle everything.
Okay.
218.6.
So last week I was 227.8, so I'm closer to five. Hank was 219, Sheck was 192, and Money was 160.4.
There you go. I'm 160 flat, so I'm down 0.4.
Me too, Money. We've lost the same amount of weight this week.
Look at that. And Sheck, he's walking the house.
I'm making my way.
This is the first time Dave's stood up in a week.
This is the appreciate. Can you, I haven't been over to the east wing of the house in quite some time. Hold
on. Since you last weighed yourself.
Yes, I haven't washed myself because the scale is here. Hold on. Ha! Wait, it didn't hold it. Hold on.
Put both feet on.
There we go.
190.2. Is that the same? I think that's the same, right, as last week?
Sheck dropped 2 pounds.
Sheck dropped.
Good job, Dave.
Look at that, huh?
Thank you.
You passed it over. Celebrate through the screen. You reach through the screen and you're like, here, wait, I gotta, there we go. Give it to Eddie. Just take those 2 pounds right there. Wow.
Bad week.
I'm gonna celebrate with a triple chalupa and some PJ.
That was an impressive order, I gotta say.
All right. What do you guys think? Should we do before we don't you run off so soon, Money? Let's do. Do you guys want to do it?
We got a counter in the top corner. I see an hour two, and I start getting nervous. We can do a use your noodle if you want. Eddie muted you.
No, I didn't. Dave muted himself. I unmuted.
Dave, you muted yourself. Dave, you got to unmute yourself.
Just click it.
Click it, Dave.
Click it. It's very simple. There you go.
Well done. I thought that might be another 20 minutes of confused grandpa.
My only request for the show, and this could be overruled, was just because, especially because Money named himself Bhagavan, and we set it up last show, was just to pay it off by our quick recap of Tiger King, but that could be overruled.
No, I definitely want to do that. Has everybody, is there
completed
all
the journey? Yeah,
I haven't watched the final episode yet.
Yeah, you can do that.
Oh,
can I just say this though? First of all, I continue to be vexed by those. And listen, we make fun of Spaghetti's love of Pearl Jam, as I always say. Zealots ruin just about everything, and that's fine. Whatever you're super into might be a, you know. Listen, I like Star Wars stuff. And people, who cares? Well, the public pronouncements about I'm not into it is like, well, thank you for that absence of an opinion. And this Tiger King is one of those. It's like, just want everybody to know I tried Tiger King. I couldn't get into it. Thank you for that important note.
Need to know.
What is that narcissism? What is that?
I'm with you 100%.
Instinct to declare I'm not into it.
I don't get it.
Soccer, everybody loves soccer. Like, hey, I just want you to know, I tried to watch some soccer. Not into it,
I get it. I'm with you 100%. Don't care.
All right, yeah.
Feel free to weigh in if you're in and you have something to add. If not, just hold your tongue. I'm with you completely and totally.
And now
Petros made one of the best observations, I thought, of Tiger King the other day. And I think it could only maybe be picked up if you really are an astute observer, or maybe watch it multiple times, because I missed it. When our girl gets her arm chewed off, right? And everybody's freaking out. And, you know, he's scrambling, the camera's following him. And remember, he says that funny line, like, this is going to financially ruin me. Instead of like rushing to her aid, trying to get the ambulance coordinated, whatever was important, his first action was running to his office, taking off his leather jacket, and putting on a nylon bomber jacket that appeared as though he was some sort of EMT. It had a badge on it. It basically made him look like a first aid official, like a professional of some sorts. And that's what his mind did. It was as soon as it happened, you see him sprint and run back to the office, and he puts this coat on. And it's just a quick glimpse, and there's a badge there. And Petra's like, it's an EMT jacket. Like, he decides, I'm gonna go get this bomber jacket on so people think I'm an official and I can like get this situation under control. It really is remarkable that that's what he decided to do.
Yes, and if you can create your own little universe that guy has created, the Tiger King has created for himself, you eventually will lead yourself into some deity a type of frame of mind that is detached from our collective reality. The thing that's weird about it is, as we say that zealots ruin everything, I mean, so there's a obsession about this reality show. But again, at the root of it, where they start out with this thing is, oh, these people, like, let's explore the characters who have a cat obsession like this. But what about, and then it goes from there about how bizarre and murderous and all that stuff. But at its core, what the hell is going on with people living with, did you know people were living with tigers and lions in America?
A couple of years ago, we took Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola to Mexico to Mexico City.
Who, you and Alfie or who?
No, me and NFL International.
Oh, don't worry.
Stick with me. We made a TV show or documentary about their trip there. And one of the things that they did, there's an equivalent to the Tiger King, to Joe Exotic in Mexico City, who apparently, you know, he's somewhere in that realm of, are you helping these tigers and lions, or are you capturing them and caging them? But a gentleman who runs a charity there called Black Jaguar White Tiger. And he effectively, and this is the weird thing, is I actually wound up going to his house as well, which is full of tigers and lions and cubs and whatever else. But the idea that people say, you know what, I could really do with this, would really cap off my house and with my fortunes, is to have a tiger cub. And then after about 7 weeks go, wait, this is unsustainable. These animals are vicious creatures that only want to eat my children and tear up my house. And so I'm tired of it now. Like, the fact that someone wouldn't think, I'd like a tiger cub, but that's going to turn into an actual tiger, and wouldn't connect those two things, and then suddenly has to make a call to say, hey, someone needs to get this tiger out of my house. Yeah, immediately.
Come pick up this 900-pound beast.
And, right? Exactly.
It's actually one of the first things I thought of, because Hank, you and I were walking the streets of Mexico City and you were telling me the story of this person you had connected with that did exactly that would get these phone calls from these people, and he ran this sanctuary. And I'm like, this is the exact same story that these
and that,
people.
That was my first thing. And he actually has had, I was looking, you know, he has a social media channel. He has the equivalent, or it may even be Carol Baskin, who's on his case going, you aren't helping it, you're propagating the problem. And he was talking about the fact that he's constantly fighting against these people who are. So this world is something. I bet you he knows all these people or knew all these people and has some kind of connection to them. But this world.
And by the way, you mispronounced her name, Hank. It's the murderer.
Carol Baskin. I'm sorry about that.
not enough exploration. It's funny because as you're watching it with his younger husband,
the last husband?
No,
the
not
one
the
who had the accident or the
that guy's a sweetheart. No, the guy who had the But by the way, the 21-year-old guy, you're like, what a sweetheart, nice guy. You're like,
he's a nice guy.
Deeply troubled. I don't know what happened to you that this is where you have arrived this young in your life. But the other guy, you don't realize, or at least it didn't occur to me, like, how come he's not interviewed? I never put two and two together. Like, well, he's never interviewed at any point for a sit down interview.
Yeah, oh,
I guess now we see why. Not enough exploration, though, of Carol's husband, her new husband. Like, what?
A new husband is definitely, he's a weird guy.
What's going on there? What's going on? Because he's obviously bright. He can articulate himself at least.
So he's obviously of the bunch.
The most devastating scene for me was the funeral the memorial service for him.
And I love uncomfortable situations.
I love uncomfortable situations, but my God, like, if
he dies, the husband dies.
Oh no!
Tyler.
Tyler, exactly.
He had a song for it.
We had a song, but the beginning, like, your beloved son has passed away in a tragic accident, and some of his life has been a tragedy because he left California in one state and then somehow ends up in this strange marriage with this extremely strange man. And the eulogy that the husband, that you're probably not that comfortable with, delivers starts with how your son liked to rub his balls in people's faces.
Exactly.
Well, the good news is she wasn't that offended by it because she continued to work the cash register. That was great. Also, but I know you have been thinking, though, Handsome, with the idea of, like, you got to get the cat out. That would be, I like to give inconvenient gifts. And I used to think, I used to love the infomercial for the Bedazzler, the thing that would put sequins under your clothes and it would give you patterns and stuff. And my favorite part of that always of the half hour infomercial was when they would be like, hey, it's a great way to surprise your family and friends on the holidays. And I just love the idea of going in to friends and family's closets and bedazzling their favorite coats and like, whoa, what the hell? There's a sequin anchor on my favorite shirt. Just, and like you, and then it cuts to you and you're like, you're welcome. Exactly. Merry, I love it. Happy Hanukkah. I love that, but now I think even better now is to give somebody a tiger. Just give, hey, what's behind the door? It's a surprise. It's in your bedroom. You can't look yet. Can't wait. Party doesn't start for another couple hours. You're going to have to be patient. Hang in there, Seth. You're going to love it. Like, and then like, all right, big surprise time. Here's your big gift. Go open that. And it's a tiger in there. Like, you're welcome.
I was hoping that's what it was going to be. I thought maybe there was a chance, but
it was on my list of Santa.
You put a predator in my home? What the hell is wrong? Yeah, it's excellent. All right, Spaghetti. Let's do a little. Let's do a use your noodle, and then we'll go. Then you can go eat all the noodles you want, fried. I'm assuming.
Sure. Do we want to continue the one we did last week? I know we had three. There was three categories.
No. I don't trust Handsome. Didn't look him up in the interim.
Okay.
Do you know him?
Just because I won last week, and you're jealous.
Yeah, look at Money already looking on his laptop to see the answers before we even start.
Not at all. Sorry, I got a flurry of text there, and I was double checking to see what they were. My apologies for being distracted.
That's fine. All right, here we go. Ready? No, do a new one if you have a new one.
I have three other options. So I don't know, you guys, the options are I kept it from last week. I thought it was pretty good. It was NFL players who have recorded multiple 90 plus reception seasons. Another option is the top fantasy quarterback performances for each week from 2010 to last season, which would mean there's five answers per week.
That's too deep.
And then the last one I have is name every NFL player who's had 150 plus receiving yards in a single game in the 2010s. So again, 90 plus reception, multiple 90.
Team leaders. I genuinely have not looked those things up. So we can go with that.
Okay, team leaders.
We did running back, and now we're doing receiving yards.
It's passing.
All right, go ahead. Yeah. Money, you choose it. I think.
All right.
You choose. Let's do QBs. QBs are
QBs.
Fun,
okay. Right? Most passing yards. That works.
Do you like that better, Hand Money?
I do.
Handsome, you won. You start for us, Handsome. You won last one. Winner goes first.
Okay. I'm going to go with Dan Marino.
Dan Marino.
Oh, wait. You already started. Wait. We didn't do it right. Handsome. I mean, all right. It's time for use your noodle. Take it away, host Eddie Spaghetti.
So get together and canoodle. We got the whole kit and caboodle. And while the questions, they may be futile, it's time for you to use your noodle.
And now it's time for the Dave Damaschek Football Program's Use Your Noodle with host Eddie Murphy. Take it away, Ed.
All right. Thank you, contestants. Back for another Wednesday edition of Use Your Noodle. We're going to continue with the franchise leader topic. This week, we're going to start with team passing leaders. Last week's winner was Handsome Hank, and he gave his first answer. Dan Marino, Dolphins. That is correct. So now we're moving on.
Is it me or Dave?
Money, you're next.
All right. Tom Brady.
All right. Let me check. Tom Brady. Patriots, obviously correct. There you go.
All right. Then I will go with Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, Saints, correct.
You know, as soon as that came out of my mouth, I got a little nervous for a second there. But, of course, really? You have to obliterate Bobby.
Record.
I know, but he doesn't necessarily hold it for the Saints. But, I mean, obviously he does, I guess. I wonder if Bobby Hebert is ahead. Go ahead.
I'll take Brett Favre.
Ooh, I don't know if that's going to be right.
Favre, Packers is correct.
It is right.
Come on, Dave.
What do you mean, come on?
I will go.
Pretty bold.
Peyton Manning, Indianapolis.
Peyton Manning, Colts is correct.
All right. I will go Eli Manning.
Eli Manning, Giants, correct.
I'll take Phil Rivers for the Chargers.
Phil Rivers, Chargers, correct.
I will take Kelly, Buffalo.
Buffalo Bills, Jim Kelly, correct.
All right, I'll take the low-hanging fruit, Ben Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger, Steelers,
I'm not saying Ben Roethlisberger is low-hanging fruit, but anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it's correct.
Thank you.
Can I take John Elway, please, for the Broncos?
John Elway, Broncos, correct.
I will take... Let's see, where do I want to go? I will take... I will take Joe Montana, 49ers.
Montana, 49ers, correct.
I will take Joe Flacco, Ravens.
Flacco, Ravens, correct, yep.
Good one. I'm going to take Matt Ryan for the Falcons.
Correct.
Boy, that's you're bold, handsome, but I guess not.
I mean, to think about like who else they would have had.
Right. Bartkowski was there for a long time, but yeah, the passing yard numbers of the 21st century. Yeah.
I will take let's see. No. Boy, this got tough in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take, oh boy, I'm going to cross my fingers on this one. Mark Brunell, Jacksonville Jaguars.
Nice pull, correct.
Very good, yeah. I'm going to go with Donovan McNabb, Eagles.
Correct.
Damn.
Good one.
Where I was going next.
That's the worst when somebody takes it. If we had a clock on this, you'd be in real trouble because that's what makes this game hard is when you're like, I got one holstered ready to go, and then somebody takes it, then suddenly you fall into panic mode.
Right.
Okay, that's Stafford? How about Matthew Stafford of the Detroit Lions?
Correct.
Good one.
How many more have we got left? We've done like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Okay. We're halfway there.
Gosh.
It'd be nice if we could sweep it.
I hope this is right. I hope. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go Steve McNair, Tennessee.
Sorry, it's incorrect.
Woo! Damn.
That's got to be it, huh? What?
Damn.
Yeah, it's incorrect.
Now, we're not including Oilers, right? This is just Tennessee Titans.
If it's franchise, then it won't be. It'll be another man.
Oh, so it's Warren Moon.
Oh, yeah. See, that I didn't.
I think that's fair. I let that off the Titans, hook, right? Yeah, it's Moon for Titans the Oilers.
Yes, the Titans.
Right. I think that's fair. Is that what the answer is, Spaghetti?
The answer is Warren Moon, yes.
Yeah,
Warren,
see, no, yeah, I was playing against the Titans. Okay.
Okay, we're going to allow that one.
Do we take McNair as the Titans, or do we just take that off the board completely and I have to come up with another one?
We could remove Warren Moon. We could remove Warren Moon, and I'll let you go again.
Okay.
That might not be that helpful.
My apologies. I will go. All right. Son of a bitch. I hate this. All right, I'm gonna go
truth.
All right, I hate it, but I'm going to do it. Vinny Testaverde, Jets.
Incorrect.
Oh, I was just going to go Jets. Ken O'Brien, right?
Nope.
Dave, it's your turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's his turn.
All right, so two wrong in a row. Yeah,
so
Ken O'Brien, is that right? Joe Namath for the Jets.
Joe Namath, yeah.
Hank wins again. All right, so
back to back.
Easy.
All right, so just to wrap
up. I think I've got three others, Eddie.
All right, so go.
Hold on. You just went. Wait, no, you just went. So I'm up. Let's see if I can. Russell Wilson, Seattle.
No.
It's, how about that? It's Zorn, huh?
No.
Dave Craig.
No.
It's Baby Hands.
Dave Craig. Dave Craig for Seattle.
It's not.
Who is it?
It's Russell?
No, it's not.
I said Russell.
You haven't named it yet.
It's Rick Meyer.
It's not.
Well, how could it? It has to be. Those are the only guys who are.
Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck, yeah.
Oh, wow, that must be my close. God. What? That's crazy. Yeah. That's a legit stunner to me. The other one I was thinking about is it DeLome or Cam in Carolina?
It's Cam.
Here's another old one, I reckon. I think looking at the Vikings,
I was going to say
they haven't had any. I bet it's Fran Tarkenton.
Why didn't I think of that? Bummer. Stafford.
That was one I struggled with.
Stafford's got to be the Lions, right?
Is the Bears Sid Luckman?
The Bears is not.
Is it Jay Cutler?
It's Jay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's.
How about
that?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
How about Redskins?
Yes.
Joe Theismann.
It's Theismann. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it? I didn't know what Sammy Paul might have.
Is the Cowboys Tony Romo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good one.
I thought that was it.
Cardinals, I'm thinking Jim Hart.
It is.
Okay.
Is it not Neil Lomax? I would have gone Neil Lomax there.
Is the Texans Matt Schaub.
Nice, Paul. Yeah.
Well done, all these
that I was second guessing myself on.
How about Bengals? Boomer?
It's not
Ken
Boomer.
Anderson?
It's Ken Anderson.
It is. I was going to say Carson Palmer. It's Ken Anderson.
Yeah. I think Carson was only there for Cleveland 7-8 years.
Is Cleveland Kosar?
No, it's not.
Graham?
No, I'm going to be honest. It's the only name on this board. I don't know who the player is.
Oh, because it's somebody super old then, huh? Who is it?
Brian Sipe.
Sipe?
Yeah.
Brian Sipe, all-time rounds leader? Brian Sipe was great.
Yeah.
Hard fun to watch.
So Carolina's Cam.
Yeah, you're missing.
Eddie, you got to go watch some 1980 football. Brian Sipe, that year with the Browns, the cardiac kids was a fun one.
You guys are missing.
We need the Chiefs.
The Chiefs, the Bucks, the Rams, the Raiders.
Okay, wait, slow down. Let's go one by one.
Chiefs first,
I'm going to say it's a tough one because I'm going to go Len Dawson.
It's got to be Len. Yeah,
it's Len Dawson. You need the Bucks.
Yeah, but Bill Kenny had like 4,000-yard seasons. There's like weird names like that. I'm surprised haven't.
The Raiders is a tough one because there have been like every guy's tenure was so short.
I'll go 12.
It's not Rich Gannon.
No, I'm going with the lefty.
Oh, well, no.
Anybody else want to guess before you say yes or no? Go ahead.
Hold on. Hold on. Well, Eddie said everybody else he didn't know. So,
the only guy, the Browns guy was the one I didn't know. Everyone else.
That's what I mean. So yeah, somebody you know.
Sure.
So that leads me to think that it's. And you're going Derek Carr, Dave?
No, I'm going Stabler.
You're going Stabler.
Yeah.
It's Stabler?
It's not Stabler.
Ooh. Is it?
I think it might be Derek Carr.
Is it Derek Carr?
It's Derek Carr.
Yeah.
Ooh, how about that?
Right?
It's a fun one.
All right, so now we need Tampa.
Tampa, yeah.
I mean, who could possibly? It's going to be.
Don't say yes or no yet, handsome. Spaghetti. Let us all register a vote.
Yeah,
in there.
Yeah.
I am going to I'm going to throw couldn't be him. I mean, Doug Williams feels like he would be the answer, but I bet you that that's just
he wasn't my, there. He can't have been there for long enough at that time.
I agree. Ultimately, much. I think it would be Vinny.
I was thinking Vinny too.
Yeah,
he was there for a pretty decent.
He was there for long enough to do it, but
what's is that, the answer? Is that the final Vinny, answer? It is not. Vinny, it's not Vinny Desiderati.
It's not Vinny. Part of me wonders if it's
Jameis
after a 5,000-yard season.
It's Jameis.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's embarrassing.
And I think the last team is
now we got the Rams.
The Rams is going to be Jim Everett.
Jim Everett.
Yeah, it is that.
Gosh. Well done. Handsome. Really dominating. And speaking of
is
dominating.
That all the teams?
Yeah, that's everyone.
Yeah, you got it, bro.
Well done, us.
Yeah.
But mostly well done, me.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
Namath over Ken O'Brien, huh? Surprising.
And I'm the dummy to put it Testaverde because if you look at the all-time passing yards, he's up there. He's like top 10. And I was like, man, I thought most of those were with the Jets.
I thought for Carolina. And then I was getting the guy, the name that is the weirdest when you look at all-time passing yards. And there are a couple that are in there. But the weirdest one is Kerry Collins. Kerry Collins. No. Is I think like top 12, top 15 in career passing yards. And he was with Carolina for a while. Yeah. He was there for a little bit. It wasn't like he was only there for a few years.
Right.
But
yeah.
Anyhow. All right. I think we've covered more than enough here, yep. Right? I mean, more good than stuff. Enough.
It was nice to speak to you guys.
It was a pleasure to see you.
Enjoy
I hope
your donut lunch.
Was good.
Enjoy your donut lunch.
It's done.
Did you have the buttermilk that Dave requested?
No, I had a maple one, but if I go outside, there may still be a buttermilk one out to just finish off my lunch.
Weigh yourself again real quick.
I might have to. I think we can assume whatever that donut weight is now on top of it. Maybe.
Exactly. Put it in my belly.
I think if I have one for the four of us, one wish for any of us here, it's that Spaghetti's girlfriend Jada doesn't have a tough day at work because we know what that results in.
Next week, we had some bananas that were going bad, and she made banana bread, and I ate a whole loaf.
Hey, stress is a killer. Like, yeah, but it shouldn't kill your boyfriend. Like, yeah, he's the one who wound up with the heart disease. Like, what, he was stressed out? No. Triple chalupa. You need that.
Triple chalupa. And then we scoop through the KFC drive-thru, and I just get a small sting, right? It's a three-piece with a biscuit and some wedges. That's all.
I mean, the order I put together at KFC was pretty good. Pretty nice. I kept it low-key. And the biscuit.
And you know. And a couple beers, couple beers, nice of wine. The wife was having wine. She's like, what are we going to do? Throw this down the sink? I'm like, no, I'll throw it down my throat.
It wasn't a whole potato. It was potato wedges.
All right.
All the best, fellas. Thanks so much. And thank you
again next
at home. Mm-hmm. Hope everybody's keeping safe and sound and eating good donuts and all that kind of stuff. Be well, everybody. Grim times for our society. But hopefully we've just done a nice job of passing. Well, I didn't do a nice job, but the other three did. Passing away 90 minutes there for you. We'll be back, presumably, with more Hooey and Applesauce for you next week. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.